All right. It's been an extraordinary session, to be sure, with Dr. Stephen Greer. And we are going to go to the phones here in a moment. I would like to just lay down this simple request. We all know millions of you have had sightings. So instead of taking up airtime with the description of individual sightings, I would like to ask that the audience restrict their questions for Dr. Greer to, for example, anything you've heard tonight. It doesn't matter. We've covered so much ground from Neil Armstrong, that bombshell. That one's going to be bouncing around for a while, to be sure. The fact that he saw craft all around him when he stepped out of the lander, to any of the rest of it we've discovered, whether it's the secret government or whether it's the effect on religious institutions, or I don't know, we've just covered all kinds of ground in the last couple of hours. Any of that's valid territory, but if we could stay away from individual descriptions of sightings, simply because there have been so many millions of them now, that itself, I think, says something, then we'll be in good shape. So coming up, your opportunity with Dr. Stephen Greer. Once again, Dr. Stephen Greer. Dr. Greer, welcome back. Are you ready for the public?
Oh, sure.
Okay, let's see what happens. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Dr. Stephen Greer. Hi.
Yes, you hear me?
You bet I can, sure.
Fantastic. Art Bell, Stephen Greer, this is Wink calling from Los Angeles. I had been on a CSETI trip with Dr. Greer a year ago in July in Crestone, Colorado. It was amazing. The question I have is, Dr. Greer, you have a lot of, you mentioned in your book and on your website that you still have a lot of footage of more than whatever has been released on the DVD that's already out. And just wondering what's going to happen with that, because I know there's so much of it, and at the same time to be getting bogged down into whatever kind of form that it would be, you know, available to view it in. At the same time, better to just get it out and let the people see it. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, it's just a matter of doing it. You know, I mean, we don't have an office or a staff, but contrary to what people might think, there's no money in doing this. And one of the problems has been we just have not had enough resources to do those things. It's completely dependent as a nonprofit on the donations of people, and we do what we can with the limited amounts that we get. But the fact is we have over 110 hours of digital videotape of various top secret witnesses, and that's just of the first 100 or so of them we've videotaped. There's now over 400 additional ones that we haven't had the resources and time and staff to travel to and videotape and edit and get it out there. It's an enormous undertaking to do this. And a lot of people don't realize that when we did the Disclosure Project book and the video you refer to and created the website, disclosureproject.org, where people can see the two-hour National Press Club event and other things on there, we really had a very, very tiny budget, had no full-time staff, and had just really a group of volunteers to do it. So, you know, basically the rate limiting thing is just the time and staff and resources to get it out there.
And, of course, you have a book now, Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge. I take it it's available on Amazon and all the usual.
Yes, it's at disclosureproject.org. People can order it. And also there's a meditation CD that goes with it where I sort of describe the consciousness aspects of contact with these extraterrestrial people.
Okay, Doctor, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Stephen Greer.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hi, this is Jack calling from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Great. This my question for Stephen Greer is direct contact with ETs. I find it very interesting as far as not just the, you know, the sightings per se, but direct contact. And my question is about the black op government. And do you think that ETs are in direct contact with our so-called black op government? And what do you think they may be discussing with them?
The answer to that is no. I know that it's a popular belief within the UFO subculture that there's at least one of these ET groups working with some covert part of the government. But I honestly don't believe that's true. For example, what I have found when I started looking into that is that These things that are called ARVs, or Alien Reproduction Vehicles, that are made by a consortium of companies, Lockheed, Northrop, SAIC, a few others, MITRE Corporation, they have been used to simulate encounters, and that there are these things that people think are grays, quote-unquote, that are actually not extraterrestrial at all. They're completely man-made. So there's a lot of the database out there that I think is counterintelligence information, and it has led to this sort of belief. And I, in talking to the folks within these corporate programs, within government programs who have been highly connected to them, I have not seen any evidence to support the belief that there is an extraterrestrial group out there. Now, I do think that in the 50s and perhaps in the 40s, that there were attempts by various ETs to make open contact. And what happened is that they soon found that the whole thing went out of control. And to whatever extent, say, Eisenhower knew about this and may or may not have had a meeting, I personally think he probably did, that as soon those projects were taken over by interests that were, to say the least, not conducive to open dialogue and cooperation. And I think that the sort of level of communication and contact with it and died in that era. I seriously doubt anything is going on currently at that level.
You just said you thought the grays were man-made. Can you enlarge on that at all?
Yes, I have several witnesses who have worked in projects where they have been in biological laboratories that are classified, where they have created these things that look like aliens, but they're not. They're completely man-made. And they have been used to simulate abductions and create a certain amount of disinformation centered around fear and hatred. And I think this is something that's quite predictable. It's not as difficult to think as you may believe. My own assessment of this is that if you want to visualize the developments that have happened in technology in terms of energy generation and propulsion and electronics, there's been a concomitant but classified level of development in genetics and what have you that deal with biological sciences that are not disclosed to the public. And I think this has been used to create what in the trade have been called PLFs, or programmed life forms, that are entirely man-made and are used for counterintelligence and disinformation purposes.
Hmm. All right, first-time caller line, your turn with Dr. Greer. Hi.
Hi, Art. Dr. Greer, my name is GR. I'm calling from San Diego.
Hello.
I had a chance to speak with Gordon Cooper before he died several years back regarding a motor that I was developing to run on Freon in a recirculating capacity. And at the end of the meeting, I asked him, do you believe in UFOs, yes or no question? If it's no, then we'll just move on, and I'm happy to have met you. You were one of my heroes. And he said, the answer is yes. He went on to tell me that same story. It was 1957. He was a young captain in the Air Force.
Right.
The kids came off the flight line where they had photographed this thing. It was small in nature, had three spokes or gears that came down, no wheels. Mm-hmm. And they dropped the film off at the base photo lab and then roared back in and said, oh, Captain, you're not going to believe what we just did. We filmed a UFO. It was right on our flight line. Well, there's a protocol, and he got the phone number and called someplace.
He called the Pentagon, right?
Yes. And they gave him instructions, don't develop it. Well, he advised them that it was in the Photoshop and it was being developed. They ordered him to not print any, to go capture the negatives, put them in a courier pouch, and the guy would show up, somebody would take it from him. Well, they shot right over to the photo lab and looked at the negatives.
Right. He told me that also, yes. Yeah.
Yes. So I want your listening audience and everybody to know that this was a true thing that I think he even may have mentioned it in his book.
He did, and we also have a very good interview with him where he describes what he saw in the film and how it came about, and the fact that it went into this sort of black hole when he sent it off back to the Pentagon, and he could... He never was able to find out any information about what happened to it after that. And
I can verify all that, everybody. I interviewed the man, and he said that right on Coast to Coast.
Right. And I think the part of this that most people don't realize is that years later, he had the opportunity to meet with Secretary of Defense Cohen, who was, of course, President Clinton's Secretary of Defense for a number of years. And Cohen was interested in this and made inquiries based on the very specific data that Gordon Cooper gave him, and basically he got nowhere with it. He was not able to find it. He was told that it didn't exist. It's sort of like these missing NASA tapes. And this is why, you know, I tell people that there's this big misunderstanding. The government of the United States is hiding this. Well, you know, there are some ultra-secret and rather rogue, I might add, illegal operations dealing with this. But when you deal with your average congressman or senior even government official at the Pentagon, the vast majority of them are completely out of the loop and in violation of the Constitution and the requirements of the chain of command. And this is a really disturbing thing, because what it indicates, and this is something that I talked with Gordon Cooper about when we met in Washington at this meeting, was that it really is a betrayal of the rule of law that our civilization is based on, and I think is extremely dangerous.
Okay. Wildcard line number four in this case from Ohio. I think you're on the air with Dr. Stephen Greer.
Yes, I am.
Hello.
You started screening your calls now since you've been in the Philippines.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Actually, I'm not screening them. They're screening them in California for me because it's the only way it can be done.
Exactly. I was raised in Wapakoneta, Ohio, with Neil Armstrong. Actually, Mr. Greer, I had the privilege of delivering papers when I was 12 years old,
right,
back in 1983, to Neil Armstrong's parents.
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you what. They always left the money for the paper in their mailbox, and never once did I meet Neil Armstrong's parents while delivering my papers during the paper route. All that being said, I just had to call in tonight because you talked about Neil Armstrong so much and about him being tight-lipped. And you know what? I do believe it, only because Neil Armstrong's parents, even though they were never seen in church, were always regarded as very religious people.
Right.
Neil Armstrong himself, I have gotten to see, because every 4th of July, during our we had 3 blocks of downtown. We had 12,000 people within our city, and 9,000 of those people came to see Neil Armstrong every 4th of July come down our main street, every 3 blocks of our main street, well, along with Johnny Bench.
Brian, did you ever hear him say anything about any of this?
No, but what I saw him do a couple times, what 9,000 people in Wapakoneta saw him do a couple times, was make a triangle with his fingers and then raise both hands in the air. And that question, pardon me?
Yeah, I just said yeah, or yes. Actually, Neil Armstrong has made a few, I think you would call them very cryptic comments over
correct.
The years. Doctor?
That's right. That's correct. He has. And if you look at a book that came out years ago called Above Top Secret by Timothy Good, who I met with, there's an account in there that Timothy Good relates from a man that he had met that heard Neil Armstrong also say years ago that when they landed on the moon that there were ET craft there. And he went further to say that essentially we were, quote, warned off the moon. And the reason for that is because it was part of really a space program that was militarized in competition with the Soviet Union. And what I have learned from talking to a number of people in the space program and in the Air Force and other classified projects that have known about this is that apparently these extraterrestrial civilizations, and I think there are a number of them, do not want humans to be going into space, even as far as the moon, in a competitive way that is nationalistic or militaristic, that about the only way that we're going to be allowed to go out in space is as a peaceful civilized world. And of course, we're not there yet, obviously. By the way, that's also why I believe the Apollo project was killed. It wasn't for funding reason. You know, my uncle, who, you know, had a mock-up of the lunar module in his house and had a sort of a moonscape in his basement. As a little kid, I would go there and see this. It was fascinating. Talked to me about the fact that there was plans to have colonies on the moon and all this stuff. Well, that was all stopped. And I think it was stopped because someone out there doesn't really want us to be going and carving up parts of the moon or Mars into Russian versus the U.S. versus Chinese versus whatever sectors. And I think this speaks to a larger issue, and that is, what are the requirements for entering the sort of interplanetary group of civilized people? And I think that the first step of it is that the Earth has to enter into a certain level of peace and cooperation in order to do that. And I think we all know we're not quite there yet.
Doctor, you've made a very controversial statement about Neil Armstrong. Now, do you think what you've said about him tonight will provoke him into some kind of response?
I don't know. You know, that's not my intent. My intent is simply to share the truth as I find it. People who know me and know me well will tell you that I do not share something like this unless I've heard it from a number of sources. Just as the comment I made about Buzz Aldrin, I have three separate sources that have confirmed to me that he has made comments about this before he came out with this interview that he since retracted. But I think that when you add all that together, and it's quite clear, and in addition to that, more than one military officer who actually has seen the footage, not that we were shown, but the real footage. And one of them said it was the crater around where the lunar module sat down was crowded with extraterrestrial vehicles. There wasn't just one there. There were a number of them. And this is exactly what apparently Neil Armstrong told this member of our project that I learned about quite recently.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Stephen Greer. Hi.
Yes. Good evening, Art and Dr. Greer. Pleasure to speak with you.
Good evening.
And I have a comment and two questions, if I can fit them both in.
Quickly.
The comment is in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus speaks of the fact that he has flocks or foals that are not of this world. He also says that his father has many mansions, and there have been general interpretations of that to mean that there are other civilizations contained, many rooms contained within, say, one planet, so to speak. At any rate, it seems that the argument or the idea that you mentioned, Dr. Green, I've heard you mention it before in previous programs, that a main or the main impediment to actually disclosing what is going on in our skies and on the planet as far as the craft and the people or the creatures that are within them and their activities, it must, in my mind, it provoked my thought to think that actually this is probably what they're trying to cover up or don't want to divulge, because it's actually a project of theirs, according to you, and that there being biological entities that are created by the U.S. government or agencies thereof, and that they actually have the technology to fly in craft, which seem to have an anti-gravity aspect as far as propulsion. If they want to keep that a secret as a government project, that's certainly par for the course, as we all know. I want to really thank you, Dr. Greer, for your courageous work on behalf of us all, because I know you do this for humanity as a whole, and it's very courageous of you to step out. And I'm also wondering what this transnational government that you've spoken of may have as a name. I haven't read your book yet, but I'm going to order it here immediately.
Well, it's a good question. In the old days, it was reported it was called MJ-12, but that was more U.S.-based. Years later, during the early Clinton years, I had a source tell me it was PI-40, and no one knew what those initials stood for. Today, I'm not sure what they are calling themselves, although in the Disclosure book, which was the book that has the about 600 pages of interviews with these top-secret witnesses that you can get at disclosureproject.org, we have some documents, one of which is from Nellis Air Force Base. It's a secret document, not declassified. It was given to me through some channels, and it actually has the project code names and code numbers as of the early 1990s. I recommend anyone interested who wants to dig into this take a look at that. It's a very interesting document.
All right. Hold it right there, Doctor. We're at the bottom of yet another hour. Boy, this has been a wild one tonight, hasn't it? From Manila in the Philippines, Southeast Asia, and Dr. Stephen Greer on the other side, I'm Art Bell. We'll be right back. By the way, my compliments on your question so far. That's exactly what I'm after. My guest is Dr. Stephen Greer, the Disclosure Project. He's an emergency physician who, in my opinion, has put his reputation on the line. Actually, it doesn't take sticking my neck very far out to say that. Certainly has his reputation on the line with the work he's doing. More of Dr. Greer and all of you in a moment. Once again, Dr. Stephen Greer. Welcome back, Doctor.
Thank you.
They actually have been doing pretty well, I would say, thus far. So let's keep going and go, let's go to the wild card line. Dr. Robert, I guess it is, in San Francisco.
Good morning, Art and Dr. Greer. Another physician here who has very interesting listening to you because it seems like our explosions in consciousness happen parallels in our lives in much the same way.
Intro, yeah, good.
And so what I basically would like to do is just really encourage your work. I've had the privilege of reading some of your work, and definitely it seems right on. My question tonight would be, have you found or worked with anything that would go further than just into the genetic activation of our DNA and our transformation of our genetic code as we go through? I think Art Bell very well in his book called it The Quickening. Have you got any commentary about that?
Well, nothing specific beyond that, except that it's quite clear if you go back in many years in history, all the way back to caveman era, there have been carbon-dated caveman drawings found in France, for example, of things that look like E.T. craft with E.T.'s outside of it.
Correct. Yeah.
And I think that it is not just a recent phenomenon. I think we are, however, in a quantum moment, if you can view it that way, where the human race is going to have to go from its normal nation-state or tribalistic sort of mindset to a universal mindset, one where there is a realization of what the true nature of conscious life is, and that, in fact, it is not just a human phenomenon, but that it's a universal phenomenon, and that, in fact, there is an aspect of human awareness that is a universal consciousness or cosmic awareness. And I think that that realization is the thing that will propel us into understanding who these visitors are and also how we relate to them and the kind of approach we need to take when we're wanting to make contact with them. And this is what we're doing in the program that we have at csteti.org, where we train people to become conscious ambassadors to these beings and to go out and do research on this. We're going to be having one of those down in Palm Springs, California, in November. But I think this is important because I think that, as Sheldrake and others have described, there's a sort of morphogenic field of phenomenon that happens that in human consciousness when enough people begin to do it. And I think that even our biological condition is affected by what we are doing, thinking, and what we are collectively evolving into as conscious beings. And I think that there is a genetic corollary to that as well. So I think this entire phenomenon is activating and opening an entirely new aspect of the human development and evolution.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, when I was in South America, we found the same thing. They're very open down there, and
yes.
Actually, they're actually ahead of where we are.
Right, right.
All right, Doctor. Thank you very much. And let's try Heather in California. Heather, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to thank both of you, Art and Dr. Greer. I think you are true heroes and true benefactors of humanity. You do incredible work.
Oh, thank you.
My general question, I hope at some point you might give out the phone number for your disclosure project for those of us who don't have computers. But my main question is, you know, I educate myself about this, and I'll talk to whoever will listen, and I certainly direct my prayer and channel light, you know, to this process and related processes and projects. But what can we do besides that to help to move this process along?
Well, I think there are many things people can do. One is that they can learn how to be ambassadors to these people, and this is one of the things I encourage people to do. The other is that they can help us identify not only these disclosure project-oriented witnesses, because they're everywhere. There are a lot of people in corporations and military operations who've been exposed to this, who have never come forward, and everyone can help us identify those. And the other thing people can do, I think this is very important, is help us identify scientists who understand these technologies, who have been reticent to come forward, and so that we can identify them and put them together in a team. We are, in fact, calling on people to come forward with adequate funding to do a Manhattan project that's peaceful for alternative energy, that deals with this sort of zero-point energy, electrogravitic energy, and similar systems. We know that it's possible, and we have identified, by the way, many scientists who have prototypes that need further R&D, and I think we're going to have to find some people who are interested in funding that, and it's going to have to move out of the few thousand dollars in people's basements into something that will actually be a serious engineering effort. And so that's another thing people can help network us for. As far as your question about phone numbers, since we don't have an office or a staff, there is a number you can call to order the book or the videotape, and it's 800-ET. CSETI, ETC SETI. But we don't really have an office that you can call to talk with anyone. I wish we did, but we just don't have that level of funding.
Okay, that was 800-ETC-SETI.
C-SETI, right.
Okay. Go ahead and give out the numbers. A lot of people challenge that way. Do you have it in numbers?
Not right here with me, I'm afraid. I'd have
you
to
don't.
Write it
okay,
in.
Challenge the other way. All
that's
right.
Right, that's right.
No problem. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Stephen Greer.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, yeah. I got a story. I don't know if Dr. Greer has heard this story or not. It happened about 15, 20 years ago. I had a relative, my wife's, which would be my brother-in-law, was a cop in Palm Springs, and my cops do. They get part-time jobs when they're not working their beat to make some extra money. And this one guy came up with an engine that can run off of like 100 miles off of something funny like water or 100 miles off of gas or whatever. And he was about to show it off to a bunch of investors. And what happened, the way he explained it to me was that the shift that was supposed to relieve the other shift, because he hired a whole bunch of off-duty cops, was called and told that the time was changed by an hour. And this guy had like two motors in a garage. He had all his equipment in the garage. And my relative told me that there's no way that you could just go in that garage and take everything up. But what happened was the guy disappeared. Both engines were gone. By the time the cops came to relieve the other cops, he said the whole garage was spick and span, cleaned out, and that it would have had to take like 30 people the size of Arnold to clean this garage out.
Right.
But that's what happened.
Well, they probably did have 50 people the size of Arnold to do it. And this, by the way, this is an account I've heard hundreds and hundreds of times. It is not a conspiracy theory. It's what is done. And this is it's really criminal. It's criminal that these sort of people, I unfortunately view them as sort of petro-Nazis that have goose-step around and suppress these wondrous breakthroughs that would unshackle our civilization and not only get us out of these entanglements in the Middle East, but also would lift the entirety of the human race out of poverty. You know, if everyone on Earth lived as we do in America with air conditioning and cars, we would run out of petroleum very quickly, never mind what would happen to the environment. And so I think that we're in a system that is in sort of this death strangle, and if, unless we can find enough people to come forward with courage, and I point out to people that this is why we have to do it publicly, we have to have a lot of people aware of it, and we need to have the support of the masses of people as we bring this sort of information and these technologies forward, because really the front line of defense for any inventor or scientist or researcher such as myself doing this work are the people interested in it who would notice if something were to disappear. that one of the tragedies of this account that you share is that I would be willing to bet that this scientist was developing this and had not gotten it into enough redundant places of storage and safekeeping, never mind having it disclosed properly to a large number of people. And I think that this is a counterintuitive. Most inventors are very secretive. Most scientific breakthroughs are held very tightly. People think they're going to beat this group at their own game, or they may not know this group even exists. And this is one of the things that I think we have to make clear, is that we need a new strategy for getting these incredibly important technologies out to the public.
All right. Wildcard Line, your turn with Dr. Greer. Hello? Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to say, great show, guys.
You're
It's been a blast. My question was regarding Neil Armstrong landing on the moon. I was curious if I heard in the past that when he said one small step for man, that speech, he was really supposed to say something else.
Actually, that's right. I've heard the very same thing. Is there anything to that, Dr. Greer?
I have heard that. I don't know it for certain. What I have heard, in addition to what I've shared so far, is that because the lunar orbiter, which was mapping the moon prior to the lunar module landing with Neil Armstrong on it, they anticipated that it was likely that they might encounter these extraterrestrial vehicles that were fully visible. And this is why the film footage, some of what was shot, I believe was shot in a studio or somewhere on Earth, and then was put in to sequence when it became clear that they were not going to be alone as they emerged from the lunar module. So many people have said, well, you know, there's some hoaxing of that footage that was shown to the world. It doesn't add up. There's some technical problems with it. And that means we didn't go to the moon. I don't think that's true at all. I'm quite certain we went. I just think that the story of what happened when we went was concealed.
Okay, International Line, you're on the air with Dr. Stephen Greer. Hello.
Hi there. My name is Stephen from Edmonton, Canada.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
First-time caller, long-time listener. I love your show, Art. Oh, unbelievable. Okay, I got a theory, I guess, in my little head. You guys, that ties into a lot of stuff that you're saying. You know about the Mayan calendar, 2012, and the time of enlightenment, as some people say. Could it be possible that at that time, for some reason, this all explodes and everybody knows, and that there is life out there and they can't deny it and nobody can hide it? So the reason why it changed or they stopped at that time is because we have to do a new date, saying from this on, this time on, it's a new millennium, new site, new we're moving ahead to a new time, as it were.
Well, yeah, I think that we may be in that period and have been for 100 or 150 years. And I explained this in my new book, Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, and sort of give a blueprint of what the next cycle of around 500,000 years will look like from the information that we've had given to us. And I think that as I see this, you know, the whole 2012 issue, whether that date in particular, but it comes up a lot, and it comes up in some really strange quarters. For example, if you look at one of our books, we have a document in there that was a wire transcript of the CIA tapping Marilyn Monroe's phones because she was threatening to hold a press conference to disclose what Jack Kennedy had told her and apparently pillow talk about this issue, that what he had seen. And it was signed by James Jesus Angleton III, a big mole hunter and leak stopper in the CIA back in the early 60s. It was signed the day or so before they found Marilyn Monroe dead. And Burl Ives, the very famous actor and singer who had been on our executive committee for my group before his death, told me that Marilyn Monroe had been murdered. They all knew she had been murdered. No one knew why until I got this document from an NSA source, and it is a top secret document. Now, what's interesting about that is that a relative of James Jesus Angleton called me the day after the Disclosure Project Press Club event in 2001 and discussed the fact that we were moving the envelope up from their planned announcement in 2012 with the world's religious leaders and NATO leaders in Europe on a disclosure in the year 2012, and that date was given to me. So it's quite interesting. But he said that, you know, that we had done a very good job, but that we were moving the date up a bit. And I said, well, good, it should have been moved up into the 1950s, but that was another. We had to agree.
Maybe there is something to it all. All right, east of the Rockies, your turn with Dr. Greer. Hi.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hey, Art Bell, I'd like to thank you and Mr. Greer for everything y'all have done. Y'all have done great work, both of you. And Mr. Bell, you led me to truth, and I found the truth, and Mr. Greer kind of illuminated it a little bit. And it wouldn't be fair of me to receive all this without trying to give something back. I would like to ask Mr. Greer, have you read the Urantia papers?
Yes, I'm familiar with those.
Well, I didn't know if you was, because they helped me and changed my life, and I think anyone should know if they're after the truth about where we're coming from, where we're going, and all those good questions that we need to be asking. That's where most of it is, that expands our minds the most.
Okay, you have read it, Doctor.
Yes, I have a copy.
Okay. Any comments?
There's some interesting information in it. I don't know that it's altogether 100% accurate, but it's interesting.
Okay. West of the Rockies, your turn with Dr. Greer. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Am I on?
I hope you are. Jim from Littleton, Colorado. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Doctor, some years ago I read a little book by two Russian scientists in which they put forth the theory. Their contention was that the moon was an artificial satellite, and they had some very interesting arguments to support that. Are you familiar with that by chance?
I have heard that. I certainly don't have any reason to confirm that that is an artificial satellite. I have heard that about Phobos, that in fact the Phobos probes that the Russians sent up apparently found that a mass and gravitational effects were not what would be predicted if it were totally solid, and there was some speculation that it was in fact not solid. But again, I do not have any independent information corroborating that. I certainly have heard those stories.
Okay, I think we can get one more in. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Stephen Greer.
Yes, sir. My name is Mike. I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And you opened the show with an email from a young lady, and I felt at the time that Dr. Greer dismissed them out of hand. And I'm going to give them an out here.
I answered as many of the points.
Yeah, actually, I thought we kind of went down the line and point by point.
Why don't we send a super weapon to hover over North Korea and just tell them to knock it off?
Well, I think perhaps you weren't listening to my response. I think
that's
that
right.
The problem is that if we were to openly use any such craft or weapon, it would a priori disclose the existence of those technologies, which has been one of the central reasons for the secrecy all these years. And you cannot come out with something like that and demonstrate its use and have the world see it without then people saying, well, gee, why don't we have that same type of technology in use so that we can get off of oil, since the President of the United States has said that we have to get off our oil addiction. So I think, you know, you run into a serious problem with that theory, and I think it betrays a lack of knowledge of really what's been behind the secrecy and the big monkey power game that's been played around a centralized economy that's highly dependent on our energy system being fossil fuels.
We're out of time. That's it. We're out of time. Buddy,
right.
It's been another extraordinary show. Dr. Greer, thank you so much.
Thank you, Art. Have a good trip.
You thank you very much. Have a good night. I'm Art Bell at AOL.com, Art Bell at Mindspring.com. See you next weekend. Night all.